The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And it's jacked up. And oh, for the third, I think the ball came out there. Who's going to come out of it? Eagles say they have it.
Hurts on second down. One-man rush. Has a lot of time. Looking. Throw it. End zone. Caught for the touchdown. Jahan Dotson. Love. He's going to take a shot going deep down the far side. And intercepted. Darius Slay.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Love. Zips one down. Intercepted. Zach Bourne has it.
On the give inside. Jacobs breaks the tackle. Straight ahead he goes. Josh Jacobs taking everyone with him. Inside the five. And he's down.
Here's Ludlow. Last gasp attempt. Going deep down the field. Into double coverage. It's intercepted. Picked off by Quinyon Mitchell. The third pick of the day for Philly.
Well, we've been here before. It sucks. It's not fun. It's not fun being in that locker room after a game. And, It sucks.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
We're going to answer Chewy's question in a second. Should Jordan Love be running more? But there is a text on the Carpool's Talk and text line, 800-990-3776. List is more. Matt in Lake Mills, sick of people saying Matt LaFleur is a bum. Areas of improvement for sure, but he has one of the best records in NFL history to start a career. That doesn't happen by accident.
I agree.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, Gabe and I were talking in the break.
Totally agree.
The past three games for Matt LaFleur have not been good in terms of play calling, what he's got going. There's many factors that go into it. He is culpable himself. But to throw the baby out with the bathwater, one of the best play callers in all the NFL, because of a rough stretch, I think is overreacting. Like, we can be critical of him.
Yep.
Needs to be better.
Yep.
Period. Next sentence. We also, what better option is there out there?
We all agree that Jordan Love needs to be better. We all agree that they need better options catching passes. This team still finished 8th in points, 5th in yards offensively. So I think Matt LaFleur deserves some of that credit, but again, does he need to be better? Does it need to get better? Yes. Do I think he needs to give up play calling? I do not.
Because, Steno?
Because Adam Stanovich has never done it.
No. But he's got he's like James Franklin this year. You know what I mean?
Please explain, because I don't.
I can't win big ones.
You're 0-6. You were 0-6 against good teams. What's James Franklin, like 1-19 against games that really matter? Who cares what you do against the Saints, right?
The Franklin thing doesn't make a whole lot of sense because last year's team went into Kansas City and Detroit and smoked them. Like
I'm saying this year's team, let me tie this in, Joshy. Tying it in from the standpoint. I'm going to tie it in from the standpoint, and I really believe this.
I hope so.
LaFleur wants to throw the ball 60-40, and he doesn't. And, you know, it'll take a little time. He doesn't know how to call the offense when it's a 50-50 split. Like, when it's a 50-50 split and you throw three play action, that is weird to me. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. I would have three play action passes called for me in a game.
Yeah. What you get?
Maybe sometimes even more than that.
True, and I think that's a fair criticism, and it's just you don't have to. But again, I think you can make that criticism without saying got to replace Matt LaFleur as the play caller.
No.
You know,
but he needs to go a deep dive and probably go and talk to some people, which they do, and do a lot of film study and be like, I need to be better with a 50-50 split.
Yeah, if that's the way we have to win.
50-50 split, Gabe, with a 50-50 split, it should be 10 play action passes a game. It should be. Because play action is easier than drop back. If you're good, and they're good at running the ball, which would make you tend to believe that your play action pass would be almost better than your 5-step drop back. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's a missing piece of the equation to that play action stuff. It feels like, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're going to blame Jordan Love's leg not able to drop back and fire, but there's something there that doesn't make sense totally.
So to that, when Chewy said, does Jordan need to run more? One of the things that Jordan said, because he was asked after the game last night about his knee. Not about it. I mean, he was asked about his elbow eventually, but the first question about an injury was, hey, are you going to need like an off-season procedure on the knee to clean it up? And he talked about how, yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things that you play through. Like, it hasn't really bothered him. You know, it probably bothered his mechanics early. But also, they changed a lot of their play calling when he came back because they didn't want him booting out. They didn't want him running. So my guess, if I had to guess, Chu, I think we see him run a little bit more next year. I think maybe we see some of the, more of those boots next year because they made the adjustment to injure Jordan Love. And then for whatever reason, as he got healthier as the season went along, for whatever reason, never changed it back. Never got back to some of those play actions where you're booting out, moving the pocket, putting him in a position where he gets an easy completion. Maybe he can tuck it and run. But I don't know why they didn't make the adjustment back, but it was one of the things that stuck out to me when he was speaking at the podium last night.
I don't know. It's just I think he's really good at boots.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't match up the fact that they have a very good running game. And they haven't booted in a while and they don't do it well. Now I think they're beating a dead horse when it comes to the jet sweeps. Right? I mean, it's a little much. And I understand they have it in the game plan every week, but I mean, every running play that we had a play action pass off of it.
Mm-hmm.
It did. Whether it's a boot, whether it's a Fox 2 XY hook, whether it's a slant, but every running play we had is married not only with one, some had three play action passes off of that run. And I just don't see it. I just think he needs to go back and I don't know who the hell you'd study, but you'd be like, okay, I get it now. I get it when they're calling play action. I get it what they're doing. I need to add this play off of this specific run. Like we had, you know, tight end screens. And I think they do a little bit.
They tried to run one yesterday. Got snuffed out.
You come out the boot. You put the brakes on. You throw it back. Or I don't know. But something certainly wasn't working yesterday, and I hadn't really felt good about this passing game all year long.
Which is, again, fair. One 300-yard game for Jordan Love this season. That was it.
Yeah.
And he had a bunch down the stretch last year when they were able to kind of marry all this stuff together. Let's go out to 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text line. Sorrell in Milwaukee, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Jim.
What's up, fellas? How you doing this morning? I know I sound cheery. I'm excited to speak to you guys for the first time, but what a somber day.
That's all right. Listen, you can have two thoughts in your head going on at the same time, Sorrell.
Yeah. You know, I can be multifaceted. First off, this is how depressed I am. I'm a high school teacher. I teach high school math. I called in today. I said I'm out sick. Well, really, I'm broken freaking heart.
What do you want? Should you be in class, man?
Love hurts.
I'm glad you called
in. I hope none of my students are listening. I hope my boss isn't listening. But it is a Black Monday. Check this out. I want to credit Chewy first off because you guys don't do enough of that. I think there's merit to the idea that Jordan Love can stand to be a little more dynamic. I understand that it's probably not a part of his physical attributes to be a scrambler, but just the mere threat of being able to scramble might actually present another layer to their offense. It's either his arm or it's not, and his arm is a little inconsistent. I marvel at the kid. I think he's a unit. I think he has potential. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's time for us to see some growth. I credit most of the mishaps and most of the strained growth this year to his strained growth, frankly, because we know how it goes. The quarterback aligns with the success of the team. Last but not least, Chewy, before we left for break, you said something about telling the guys to chew on this before we leave. That is a heck of a segment name, if you guys think about it. All right, I'm out of here. Thank you, fellas.
Thanks, Sorrell. I think that's going to be tough to beat for call of the year. Like, not to put pressure on everybody else, but Sorrell called in. He let us know that he called in sick this morning to work, and then he immediately pivots to giving Chew credit. Like, that was fantastic.
What's wrong with that?
Do we really not give you enough credit?
No, you don't.
I think you give yourself enough credit.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with a little self-promotion. I don't have Twitter. I don't have Instagram.
Yeah,
I don't have TikTok.
What would Charlene say?
Self-praise stink PU.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but Charlene doesn't listen, so.
Back out to the Carbo's Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Jason in Hales Corners, you're up next. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I just want to say this. You know, I think we just need to take a step back and, you know, breathe a little bit. You know, obviously it wasn't the season that how we wanted to end, but there's a lot of positives. I mean, Jordan Love came back from a injury, performed well, I thought. And then Josh Jacobs, you know, what a bright spot on our team. Going forward, you know, I think, Gabe, you're right. I think we need maybe a veteran wideout to help these young guys, you know, step forward a little bit. You know, give them the ropes. And then last thing, you know, is there's always next year. Let's hope we can sign some guys on defense, maybe get a free agent wideout, and we've got next year. So thanks, guys. You have a great weekend, and love talking and love hearing to you guys.
Yeah, certainly appreciate the call, Jason. And yeah, I think there were some good things to still take from the season. That doesn't mean you can't be disappointed with how it ended with three straight losses, right? Because this team was flying high after the shutout against New Orleans, and then you lose three in a row, and especially the last two, to kind of go out with a whimper against Chicago and then scoring 10 points in your playoff game.
Yeah, like next year, come preseason, they're going to be in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're in the top 10, you have a shot. But let's not be naive. There are holes.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And some of them are pretty good-sized holes that has to be addressed.
I would say everyone here, if I could speak for us all, we're optimistic about the future, but we also know there is work to do. There is a lot of work to do, but as is with every other team that's going to eventually end up losing in the playoffs. Like, there are deficiencies on all teams. You just have to be able to accentuate your strengths and fill the gaps where you can.
Some questions were answered in a positive light this year. Like, when was the last time we felt this good about linebackers and safeties and a defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers? Yes, there are still things they have to fill, defensive line, cornerback, but they've got a couple of tough spots that they've had trouble filling over the last decade.
And let me ask you guys a question, and take the draft out of it, because the draft is such a hit or miss, right? Take the draft out of it, okay? Because look at Morgan, look at Ness. You don't know what you're going to get from those guys. So I'm strictly talking free agency. And the holes are receiver, D-line, and cornerback. Prioritize those going into next year.
I think I might be in the minority. I think receiver should be number one.
I'm right there with you.
I think receiver, I would say receiver is number one. I would like D-line to be two. I know how difficult then can be to fill, because the guys who are generally great pass rushers aren't let go by their team, right? You're going to have to take a gamble on someone. So yeah. I think pass rushers two, and I would say corners three, but I would not be shocked if they are unable to fill through free agency the pass rusher gap.
That's I'm right there with you, because you saw yesterday what creating pressure does with four. The Eagles blitzed one time.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Packers offense did nothing. So I'm with you, Gabe. I'm like, you got to get D-line, and then.
But the problem is, like, it's got to marry up, too. Like, I just don't know. Like, the Ojulari guy from the Giants, I was looking at a free agency list earlier this morning. Like, I think Bleacher Report had him in the top 10. I don't know how well he fits with the Packers because he's so undersized. Like, I don't know how often you can put him out there as a 4-3 defensive end and expect him to be able to hold up. I mean, he's like 255 pounds. Like, that's not going to hold up in the run game. So do you want to spend a bunch of money on a guy who's like basically a third down specialist? So that's the problem that they have, I think, too, when it comes to the pass rusher.
I can tell you it's either going to be somehow trying to acquire somebody that's already on a team, or it's the draft. That they draft edge guys like they're going out of style. Yeah. That's just how they build the team.
And unfortunately, it takes those guys a while to develop.
I mean, they're never going to admit that they have to have a number one receiver. You think deep down they're like, yeah,
I think, Chewy.
I don't want to say a failed experiment.
Chewy, I don't think that they'll admit it with their words.
Yes, actions.
But they'll admit it with their actions this offseason.
Okay, so you think they're going to do something.
They have to. Because
I bet they draft one still. I bet they continue.
Yeah, but I'm talking. Yeah, but it's going to be what? They're going to be what? 28? 26?
No, it'll be 24. Because they lost in the first round.
Mock draft. I'll look it up.
Yeah, they lost in the first round. So like, they're not going to be on the back end. They're going to be more toward the front end of the 20s because they lost this game.
Yeah.
So they'll be higher than they did a year ago. But again, it's going to be tough to have that and those people, you know, kind of fill in those gaps. But yeah, I think that, yes, while they draft one, there are going to be some wide receivers they could potentially go after that could help out this team next year. Rob Domofsky is going to react with us. He was in Philadelphia. He also had an incident that we need to discuss with him. Chewy, I'm sure you're unaware of it. I can't wait till you hear what Rob did yesterday.
No, I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how you saw it, but be that as it may, we talk with Rob Domofsky coming up next. But first, I do want to tell you about our friends at X Golf at American Family Field. I cannot wait to get out there for my league night on Wednesday, but maybe that's a place you need to be heading out to because it's open year-round. Inside the ballpark, great view overlooking left field with the state-of-the-art simulators that X Golf is known for. You can go in, work on your game, maybe go in around lunch, be able to, you know, sneak in, few swings on the driving range, couple of holes, and make sure your game stays sharp all season long. Or maybe before we hit the spring, you know what? I need to get better. I need to take some lessons. Andy Barrett, their PGA pro, will get you going in the right direction. Book your sim time today. Find out more. xgolf@mfamfield.com.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
The game has to be a continuation of the trend they're on. They can't just sort of go in on a level that, you know, they've been at. They probably do need to play their best game, but I do think it's trending in the right direction.
A prolific golfer?
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
And noted hoops head.
If you shoot 60% from the free throw line, you're a bad free throw shooter. If you're 60% in the red zone, I don't think that's good.
It's Rob Domofsky time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This better be a great segment.
Excited to talk to our guy, Rob Domofsky, ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter. Jen Latta along for the ride the rest of the way here as well.
Good morning. Wait, hold on. Morning.
I don't know. Sorrell, we just had a caller, Rob, that like made my day. Sorrell called in. Maybe I shouldn't keep saying his name in case somebody is listening. He's apparently a math teacher.
I heard it. Yeah, I heard it, Dave. He called in sick today. Good for him, man.
Well, you got to prioritize your mental health.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's clearly what this gentleman, who will remain nameless from here on out, is doing.
Can't be teaching the youth of America when you're upset because the Packers season came to a close yesterday. Rob, why did Jordan Love struggle so much in the final three games?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think offensively they did anything overly dynamic, too, like that. I mean, you know, you got to help your quarterback with play calling, game plans, and I don't think they were very good from a coaching perspective, you know, over the last couple of weeks. And then Jordan wasn't very good either. Like, I mean, you know, I don't think there's any question that, you know, this year was not a step forward for him. I don't want to know that I would say, I mean, regression might, you know, it's a word you're going to hear a lot probably over the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure if it was regression or he just didn't take another step. And, you know, that's where, you know, he's going to have to get a lot better in year three as a starter. And Matt LaFleur is going to have to spend, you know, a lot of time this offseason trying to figure out how they get this offense more dynamic. And that may, you know, those conversations may also need to include the general manager as well in terms of trying to get a few more dynamic or at least one more dynamic weapons on offense.
Rob, do you think it's as simple as LaFleur just doesn't know how to call plays when it's a 50-50 split run pass? Because yesterday, rushing the ball is the one thing they did pretty well. But then again, he only throws three play action passes. It just doesn't marry up.
Yeah, the interesting thing, too, and I don't know if you guys talked about this, but The Eagles basically never blitzed. I mean, I think they blitzed one time, mm-hmm. and Love was not under duress very much either. I think it was like technically on the ESPN stats and info, he's only under duress, meaning, you know, pressured, where it was a problem five times yesterday, which is you should be able to, you know, do a lot more in that situation. However, you know, part of the play action, it's a little bit like the screen game, right, Chewy? It's like you have to time it up at the right time.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. You know, when a team's not blitzing or sending more than four, sometimes that can be really difficult for a play caller to try to figure out when is the right time, you know, because if you know, the other thing, too, though, like early on in the game, and I don't know if this held true the whole game, but early on in the game, they were loading the box pretty heavily against the Packers, and I don't think they had answers, you know, for that right away.
Rob, on the other side of the ball, it seemed like Jeff Hafley called his best game with his guys. Should there be optimism that that will continue growing? I mean, I got to be honest. I loved when they put out the list of who was starting where. I loved it. I was like licking my chops going, this is exactly the lineup that we wanted to see from the defense. Even though Eric Stokes has been playing well, nice to see that they didn't have to rely on him out there in that position.
Right.
How much optimism should we have about what the defense did, the progress that they made throughout the season, and can that carry me over the next few weeks? Because there is there is going to be a hangover about how bad the offense looked.
Yeah. Well, two things, Jen. One, I sort of feel like what you feel about the defense right now is what you felt about Jordan Love at this time last year, right? And well, as we just talked about, it didn't take a step. You know, we feel good about the defense now, and you know, maybe our expectations weren't very high, but the defense obviously did a really good job. But you know, again, it can't. You know, it has to evolve as well. And then, two, like, I feel like we've been here a couple times before. This game reminded me a lot of that 13-10 playoff game against the Niners in the divisional round, where the defense actually played pretty well in a playoff game, and the special teams and the offense let them down, right? So, you know, but I do think, in general, they're going in the right direction. I the problem is I just don't think you can live in a defensive backfield that features Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine as your outside corners, and then you have Eric Stokes behind them. Like, to me, that is not sustainable. And I'm not saying this is 1999 when, you know, they drafted three corners because Randy Moss came in the league. But to me, I think corner is probably the number one draft priority. Or, you know, free agent corners don't just come walking in. So. I think corner is a huge need.
Is it harder, as we talk with Rob Domofsky, ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, is it harder for quarterbacks to improve in the offseason because of the way coaches are limited? Like, I remember when Rodgers was younger and he was able to go through like the McCarthy quarterback camp that he liked to
100%.
Put on.
I completely 100% agree with that. Players probably don't want to hear that because, you know, they don't want to. I mean, those things started in, like, February, Gabe.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, the offseason's completely changed. Now, that's same for everybody. But if you're dealing dealing with a quarterback who, you know, is still young, and Jordan is still young, there's no chance for that to be the time that they make those strides. That doesn't mean you can't make them. I mean, heck, there's plenty of good quarterbacks that have, you know, has started strong, regressed a little bit, and then, you know, took off in year three. I think year three obviously is going to be huge for Jordan to see what he can do, but, you know, they also need to help him a little bit. And, I mean, we talked all off season and really all throughout the year about how, you know, do they have a number one receiver / do they need a number one receiver? The answer, you know, right now has to be no and probably yes to those two questions.
Rob, is it just as simple as Philly's better? Like when we used to go play Dallas in the 90s and be
doubt.
We lost, but they're better. They're better.
Chewy,
they're better.
Yeah, Chewy, here's the thing. Like, this is a good football team, but it's not a great team, and it's not good enough to beat, you know, to beat the teams that they. I mean, look at the numbers when they were, you know, they were 9-1 against non-playoff teams, and their point differential. I tweeted this earlier. Their point differential turnover margins were way, way in the plus. They were 2-6 mm-hmm. against playoff teams with the two wins coming against Houston and L.A. earlier in the year. And in those eight games, they were like -6 turnover, and their point margin was like, you know, minus 3.4, which actually tells you that they're not that far off in those games. It's not like they get, you know, they were getting blown out, although some of them they were blown out early and made it close at the end. But yes, it's a good team, not a great team. And, you know, I for one fell into a trap of, you know, they're good. They've been so close that, you know, I thought they could win the game yesterday. I mean, Gabe was on the pregame show. I gave him a 50-50, better than 50-50 shot to win. And I can tell you this, the Packers people thought they were winning this game. Like, I talked to one Packers front office person before the game and said, if we play a clean game, we win by 2 touchdowns. And guess what? You know, the first play of the game was dirty. It was the opposite of clean.
Yeah, what a mess. So I'm trying to figure out the LaFleur thing, because I know Chewy and Gabe have been talking about it this morning, but to me there's a difference between like being a good play caller and being a good sequencer. And I'm wondering if Matt LaFleur has struggled with sequencing plays. Hear me out. He can draw them up with the best of them, right? We love the motion. We love the creativity. But I think there's a sequencing issue as far as when you're calling certain plays and helping your guys get into an offensive rhythm. Am I off on that, Rob?
Well, and the rhythm was the word that was coming to mind when you were asking that, Jen. I think because that's it. When it's in a rhythm, it looks easy, and when it's not, it looks like it's, you know, it's moving in concrete. You know, I'm not saying this is the case for sure, but I would kind of like to talk to people around the league and ask them if people have figured out the LaFleur, Shanahan, you know, the McVay offense a little bit. And you know, as you know, Chewy, if you don't evolve offensively, this is year this was year six, right? So we're going into year seven. And if you don't evolve offensively, teams catch up to you. And I truly believe that's a little bit of what happened near the end of the Mike McCarthy era. It's not that his offense wasn't good anymore. It's that teams figured it out and they didn't change. And, you know, this is going to be year seven. And I understand they don't just pull out a folder from, you know, Philadelphia in 2021 and change the date and run the same play. But the base of your offense and the concepts, you know, if they don't change and they don't evolve, this is what happens. And I wonder if that's a little bit of what has sort of happened to the Packers offense, you know, late in the year this year.
Rob, we'll have plenty of time the rest of this offseason to go over what went wrong, what they can do better. I'm sure we'll see you up at the draft, you know, later this April. So before we let you go, because I know you've got a flight to catch.
Yep.
What the hell happened to you in Philly yesterday, man? You had an incident. You weren't the only one. The Packers weren't the only one who had an incident yesterday. What happened with you, bud?
I assume you're talking about the late game interaction with the very, very lovely woman who was sitting in front of the press.
There was reporting from the Packers beat on you yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, you know, sometimes you got to take a stand.
So what was going on?
Okay, so the press box, and so I'll try to make this as quick as possible. The press box, in Philly is a little – it's unusually low in terms of, like, it's right behind a section of fans. Usually we're, like, pretty high up and the fans are – you know, you look down and you're looking on right down into somebody's beer glass. Well, these people, their heads are basically right at the level of our computers. So these – and it's always the case here. These fans turn around and they look in the press box and they start yelling at people. And there was this one Philadelphia Eagles fan, female, who just – the whole game was turning around, yelling at the Packers front office people. Robert Saleh was sitting like right behind me. It's the first time I've seen Saleh in a game this year. It was Saleh, Gutekunst, Russ Ball, Ed Policy, right behind us. And then in the front row, it was all the beat and TV people and radio people. And for whatever reason, this woman locked onto the fact that there were about six or seven of us, myself included, who were bald. And she kept turning around. I think it started with Saleh, because she kept trying to get Saleh's attention the whole game, yelling at him, hey you. Finally, she just started saying, look at all you bald MFers. So she just screamed. And at this point, I'm trying to file my game. We have to file something for ESPN.com that posts at the end of the game. Like, it's about a 500-600 word recap that you're banging out, and you know, for whatever reason, like, you could hear this woman really well. And she finally just was like, she started pointing down the line and she goes, bald, 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 bald. And I finally said, sit down and shut the blank up. And I banged, I banged on the press box window. And, like, you know, I've told you guys before, it's quiet in the press box. And I think, like, I kind of didn't want to turn over my shoulder, but I almost felt like from behind Robert Sala was giving me an attaboy. but I had had enough of her.
That's good awesome. We appreciate that, Rob. We appreciate the story. And I'm sure we'll talk to you at some point during the offseason, especially, you know, maybe up in Green Bay for the draft.
Well, I enjoy this. This definitely made Monday mornings a lot of fun, so. I enjoyed it, and keep doing what you guys are doing, and hopefully, whose name we cannot mention goes back to work tomorrow and educates the youth of our of the Milwaukee area.
Appreciate it. Rob Domofsky, ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter, has joined us after every Packers game throughout the course of the season.
So I have a question for everybody out there. If you could do what our unnamed loyal listener did, how many days would you take off to recover from this loss? I could go for four right now. 4 days off. I got a hangover. I am frustrated. I am upset. I am despondent. I got all the things happening today, and mostly because of the way the offense underperformed. I would take 4 days. How many would you take? And I know you don't ever take time off, but how many days would you take off to recover from this loss?
A couple hours.
What?
To say this is a zero, this hardly registers.
Are you serious?
Playoff frustration.
Yeah, for playoff frustrations?
Oh.
Oh, God. This is...
This was rough.
This is, like, not even top 10.
The only thing that is saving me this morning is that I was standing on the tracks and I saw the train. We saw the train when they played Minnesota. We saw the train when they played the Bears. I knew the train was coming. I knew I was going to get hit by the train, but I stood on the damn tracks.
Yeah, I mean, last year against San Fran probably ranks higher than this. And that was, I felt good coming out of it. Yeah, this is way down on the list.
Is it because you saw it coming, though?
No, because
working on next year.
I mean, this just wasn't, I mean, they were the 7th seed. They just weren't good enough.
But they were the 7th seed last year.
Yeah. They were playing better going in.
So when you're saying they weren't good enough, it's because you saw this outcome coming.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, part of it.
But,
yeah.
But I still didn't think they'd play this bad. I did not think the offense would play this bad yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, this honestly, of the LaFleur era, this is probably the easiest one to digest. The easiest playoff loss to digest.
It's simple when you, Jen, and we talked about it all last week. It's simple as hell. It's simple. They're not good enough. I told you, good teams don't win Super Bowls. Great teams win Super Bowls. They're just good.
Wait. I feel like you've been saying that all season, Chew.
Yeah, I kind of have been. Have we got an apology yet, Gabe? Or no?
I have not seen one on the talking text line, the Carbless talking text line. I've not. The first time I see one, Chew, I'll let you know. I'll pass it along.
Wouldn't hold your breath.
It doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be today.
All right. If somebody wants to apologize tomorrow.
3 weeks.
Carbless talking text line is always open. You know how much we love Palermo's here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because they have just so many different brands. Whether it's Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy, Screamin' Sicilian, they are going to have a slice that fits your appetite. I made sure before pregame yesterday, popped one in because it was an easy thing to have before all the football started and kicked off. And there's still plenty of football to go coming up these weekends. So you want to make sure that your freezer is stocked full of Palermo's because football and Palermo's go together. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of
alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes,
it's just necessary.
You follow?
Like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We do have a couple of apologies on the Carbless Talking text line. First from Lasagna in Milwaukee. I'm fairly certain that Chewy isn't going to get an apology because most of JGC listeners do understand that the G&G is just good, but on behalf of the Toads, we're sorry.
Wait, Lasagna?
Yeah.
That's a love boss lasagna. Name. Lasagna in Milwaukee? If you could be a food as your screen name, what would it be?
And then Todd from Illinois Gabe and Chu are right all year. Not good enough, not deep enough. Need a number one. Should have kept Jones as a 1-2 punch with Josh Jacobs. Bears still suck, and I will apologize for all the homers who were down on Gabe and Chewy. So a couple of apologies there on the Carbless Talk and text line, Chew.
That was nice of them. Very nice.
What was the most frustrated you were yesterday, Jen?
How bad the offense looked. And I had optimism because Jeff Hafley and company seemed to figure something out. You know, I had people who were texting that were like, yeah, but they still can't get pressure with four. I said, listen, that ship sailed a long time ago. That was not something that was going to happen with this defensive line. But the fact that they were giving Jalen Hurts fits, the fact that it was a 10-point game after the refs gifted that first score to the Eagles, because you saw the replay, guys. Mm-hmm. Packers recovered that fumble. Packers recovered that ball.
I guess.
Now, maybe it wasn't indisputable evidence, but, like, get it right. So you're behind the eight ball, but that doesn't mean you can't fight back. And the fact that it was 10-0 headed into the second half, I was like, oh. And then as they started to lose players, and it was still a close game, it was a one-score game, I thought, okay, guys, look at the opportunity you have in front of you right now. Like, you got to seize it. And again, Josh Jacobs, like, that effort that he had as he, you know, muscled his way to the goal line, almost got in with the extra effort and the stretch. Like, that was sort of putting the offense on his back because he realized that all of his fellow soldiers around him had been taking arrows, and it was only him. He was the only guy who could do it. So my frustration was that you had an opportunity to win that game, albeit the injuries, albeit underperforming, albeit Matt LaFleur calling a weird offense. You had an opportunity. Now, would they have gotten boat raced in the next round? Probably, especially if they played even close to what they played yesterday. But my brother-in-law, Tim, who we've had on the show, Lawyer Tim, sends in a text to me that says, this loss hurts because it feels existential at the head coaching position and at the quarterback spots. Do either one have the ability to be great? Or are they just getting the most out of their talent? And I think that's probably what the looming thing is. That's what the cloud is right now, Gabe, is we know that they can be good. We've seen it. Matt LaFleur has been great, albeit with Aaron Rodgers under center and at times when Jordan has been figuring things out. But I think the question is, can either of those two guys take the next step, the necessary step, to be one of the greats in the game? I think that is the question that is hanging over Packers Nation today.
I don't... Go ahead, Chu.
I mean, it hurts, but I mean, we saw this coming. It's like, okay, you're walking into your dark house at night. Someone's going to scare you somewhere. You're prepared for it.
Wait. Do you need to up your security system or what? Like, when I walk into my house, I am not scared that somebody is going to pop out of a closet.
Either that or, you know, you should get better family members. They're just hiding behind
or maybe this is
kitchen
foreplay.
Counters.
Maybe they just do this for foreplay. Do you and Ange just try to scare each other?
The most frustrating thing for me yesterday, and Burkhardt and Brady said it twice, is this game feels like it should be 75-0, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So you were like, okay, come on. You know, it's not, and they kind of played like it was, right? But to be shocked, no, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked. This has holes, and I can tell you this. I don't know if I'm going to push it back another year, and I might, depending on what they do with holes, but like I said, I think they're closer to Washington in Tampa Bay than they are Detroit, Minnesota, and Philly.
I guess I'm just convinced with the offense. I think we're going to be amazed of how much more in sync it looks when you have somebody who can consistently get open and catch the football. Like, because they don't have that. Who can consistently get open and catch the football? Those are two things you need as a wide receiver, and they don't have
it. But if that is your biggest issue with the offense, Gabe, mm-hmm. then you need to look at Brian Gutekunst. Then your ire, any level of it, wherever it is on the list, on the chart, should be directed at Gutekunst because he got a whole bunch of receivers, but obviously he didn't get the guy that was going to put this offense over the top.
Yeah, and now you know that. Like, I was okay with the plan going into the season.
Whoa. Did we or did we not know that this was a possibility before the trade deadline? Did we or did we not know that the offense and the wide receivers and the pass catchers might be an Achilles heel before the door closed on adding somebody?
Yeah, maybe.
We knew this before the season started,
But I was okay.
Back in June.
I was okay with letting the four young guys potentially try to grow. Didn't work out. Like, that plan didn't work out. They didn't grow. They didn't develop. So now you know that, and now you have to address it. Like, to me, the big crime for Gutekunst will be if it's not addressed this offseason. Then I'm going to get a little ticked off at him. That was okay, because, I we saw what they were able to do at the end of last year. Okay, maybe one of these guys is going to develop. Not all four, but no one really did. And now the one that I believe did is going to be out for God knows how long at the beginning of next year in Christian Watson. Because, you know, they're fearful that there's more than just an ACL damage in that knee, and they won't know for sure until they go in and operate.
Well, and to your point about that, the 33rd team put out an article this morning, and they were, again, praising Christian Watson and his effectiveness in this offense and how he made everybody else around him better, and to your point, helped them get open. Now, Christian Watson can't help them catch the ball. You know, the drops were still a major issue for this offense this year. But this says, in theory, Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks should be next man up against man coverage given their skill sets. Reed is a versatile slot receiver who is difficult to bring down after the catch, while Wicks is phenomenal at generating separation as a route runner. However, both receivers had brutal drop rates this season. According to True Media, the two combined for 18 drops this year and were both in the top five in the league in drop rate. Two Packers wide receivers in the top five in the league in drop rate amongst qualifying players.
Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Dave on the east side has been patiently waiting. Dave, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. Hope you're having a great day. For sure. Well, that's kind of a... We're not having a great day. That was foot and mouth. Let me take it out. But the caller, what was the gentleman's name earlier on that took a different route this morning than the normal route to be with his work?
No, we're not saying his name.
We're protecting his identity for him.
Okay, John Doe.
Yeah, so John Doe.
He hung up on a great note because he said, you know, he gave Chewy a compliment. And I don't know if he meant this or not, but this would be great because, Chew, you took over the show and you laid down a ramp like a teaser beforehand. Think about this. Chew on this is a segment as a teaser to give Chew once a day, once a week, whatever. And just before break, Chew come up with something, and you leave it with, Chew on this.
Yeah, I feel like we've done that before, haven't we, guys?
Should be part of our content.
Haven't
team.
We had that conversation here before?
Okay, well, let me just, and again, great idea, Dave. Fantastic idea. Chew, are you on board?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that work?
Extra work?
I ain't doing the work. I came up with the idea. I contributed my
idea. It has your name in it. It's not Gabe on this. That doesn't make any sense.
So what am I supposed to do with it? Where do we go from here?
Come up with a plan.
I don't handle logistics. I am not a logistics
no.
guy.
Yeah, that's, in fact,
you need something heavy.
We're very
you
aware.
Need heavy lifting. You need me to drive an 18-wheeler.
How is that helping with the radio show?
Snow?
How is you being able to drive an 18-wheeler going to help us as a radio show?
I don't think you could,
anyways.
I'm
just saying, I'm a legwork guy. I'm a grunt guy.
Ah,
I'm not the brain. Well, am I the brain?
As he says
operation?
From Florida.
He's the deep thinker.
As the waves lightly lap against the shores of his home in Florida.
He's the grunt worker.
And speaking of names that would really work for this program, you're Della Gabe. That's who you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Della Gabe. Yeah,
we delegate
we got
everything.
Jen Sada, Della Gabe, and Chew on this. We need for, what do we got for Joshy?
I don't know. We need to go to break.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Well, I'm going to listen to Josh. Yeah, Chew on this. We'll give our final thoughts next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A standout performance.
Love to the end zone. Watson spins his way for the touchdown.
A player who energized the team.
He goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high stepping for six.
It's time for the current electric superhero MVP of the game on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He's put it in the air this time. It is
whether it's as small as a switch repair or as big as a whole home rewiring or even a generator to keep your lights on, call the superheroes from Current Electric. Go to callcurrent.com.
On the give inside, Jacobs breaks the tackle. Straight ahead he goes. Josh Jacobs taking everyone with him. Inside the five, and he's down. He's in. Touchdown.
Ultimately, it wasn't a touchdown. He scored on the next play. Josh Jacobs, our superhero, not just of the day, but of the season for the Green Bay Packers. His 1,329 rush yards this season, fifth all-time for a single season for the Packers. 15 rushing touchdowns, tied for third in a single season in Packers history. He is our current electric superhero, not just of the day, but of the season for the Green Bay Packers.
I don't want to overreact to this last stretch. There was a point this year where we were talking about Matt LaFleur getting consideration for coach of the year after what he was able to do with this offense with Malik Willis under center, right? Mm-hmm. We were saying, what a wizard. Wow, how impressive. But the last three games, LaFleur and Jordan, at the very least, opened up the door for warranted criticism and skepticism about their ability to be great, to be able to elevate this team to a Super Bowl caliber. And I think that's where fans are today. I think there is skepticism and there is criticism that is deserved about the way that they have performed over the last 3 weeks. And that is the dread that is hanging over me today with this Green Bay Packers team.
Continue to react all day long. Wilde and Tausch next. And from noon until 2, it'll be a special edition of Mr. Irrelevant. Let's keep it locked here, 94.5 ESPN.
Eastbound 94, still a little bit slow from 84th Street through the stadium interchange in pockets. Southbound on 43 is a little bit slow as well, coming in from just before Hampton down past Capitol Drive. Disabled vehicle northbound 4394 just past the Plainfield curve. That was part of an earlier accident. That's been cleared. Just a few more delays then past that up past Oklahoma Avenue. Traffic is brought to you by the Knickerbocker on the Lake. Discover the Knickerbocker on the Lake, Milwaukee's historic hotel since 1929. Experience elegance, modern comfort, and unforgettable stays. Book now at KnickerbockerOnTheLake.com. And check in the TMJ4 Storm Team forecast today. Morning flurries becoming mostly sunny, breezy, very cold, a high of 17 with wind chills from 0 to 10 below. Tonight, clear and cold, a low of 4 at the lakefront, 1 below inland, with a wind chill of 10 below to 20 below. From the WTMJ.